Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book Sacred Economics, Revised Money, Gift and Society in the Age of Transition is a nonfiction work by Charles Eisenstein that blends economics, social critique, and moral philosophy. Rather than treating money as a neutral technical instrument, the book asks how monetary systems shape human behavior, community, and ideas of value. Eisenstein traces the historical shift from gift economies and commons-based exchange toward modern capitalism, arguing that the logic of interest, scarcity, and accumulation has encouraged competition, alienation, and endless growth. He then outlines alternative models such as local currencies, negative interest money, gift exchange, resource-based thinking, and renewed commons stewardship. The revised edition updates and reaffirms this framework for readers interested in economic transition, social ethics, and practical reform. The book is aimed at people concerned with right livelihood, sustainability, and the broader cultural meaning of money, making it both an economic argument and a vision for social transformation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, money as a social force that shapes scarcity, competition, and separation. A central claim of the book is that money is not just a convenient medium of exchange, but a force that structures relationships and perception. Eisenstein argues that modern monetary systems encourage people to see the world through scarcity, even when real abundance exists in human creativity, land, and shared resources. When value is reduced to price, people begin to measure themselves and others in competitive terms, and community bonds weaken. This framing is important because it shifts the discussion away from isolated economic policy and toward the underlying assumptions that organize everyday life. The book suggests that monetary scarcity often becomes self-reinforcing fear of lack leads to hoarding, debt dependence, and transactional behavior, which in turn intensify mistrust. By examining money as a cultural and psychological system, Eisenstein presents economic reform as inseparable from a broader change in how people understand interdependence, worth, and belonging. Secondly, the historical critique of usury, interest, and endless growth. Eisenstein devotes significant attention to the logic of interest-bearing money and the way it pushes economies toward expansion. His argument is that when money itself can generate more money through interest, accumulation becomes structurally favored over circulation. Those with capital are rewarded simply for possessing capital, while borrowers must continually produce more than they received. This creates a built-in pressure toward growth, extraction, and concentration of wealth. The book links that pressure to broader civilizational problems, including environmental degradation and social inequality, because an economy organized around perpetual return must keep expanding into nature and labor. Rather than treating growth as an unquestioned good, Eisenstein frames it as a symptom of a deeper design problem in money itself. This critique is one of the book's most distinctive features. It does not merely condemn greed or inequality at the moral level, but tries to identify the monetary mechanism that makes them persistent. Whether readers accept every part of the analysis or not, the framework forces a deeper examination of debt, capital, and the assumptions behind modern finance. Thirdly, gift economy and the idea that value circulates through relationship. One of the most original themes in the book is the defense of gift exchange as a real economic principle rather than a sentimental ideal. Eisenstein uses the gift economy to show that human beings already participate in systems where value moves through trust, reciprocity, and shared identity. In this view, the goal is not to maximize individual possession, but to keep gifts in motion so that the well-being of one person contributes to the well-being of others. This matters because it redefines economic rationality. Not every valuable exchange needs to be mediated by price, and not every contribution must be immediately compensated. The book suggests that communities become stronger when people can give without calculating personal loss at every step. It also implies that labor, care, and creativity should be recognized for their relational meaning, not only for their market value. Eisenstein's treatment of the gift economy is significant because it offers a moral and structural alternative to the win-lose logic of commodified exchange, showing how abundance can emerge from circulation rather than accumulation. Fourthly, practical transition models, local currencies, negative interest money, and commons restoration. The revised edition is not limited to critique. It also surveys concrete transition tools intended to move societies away from dependency on conventional money. Eisenstein discusses local currencies as a way to strengthen regional exchange and keep wealth circulating within communities rather than leaking outward. He also addresses negative interest or decaying currency, an idea meant to discourage hoarding and reward circulation over accumulation. Alongside these monetary experiments, the book emphasizes the restoration of the common shared land, knowledge, infrastructure, and resources managed for collective benefit rather than private extraction. These proposals matter because they show that the author is not arguing for a vague spiritual attitude toward money, but for institutional redesign. At the same time, The book acknowledges that such transitions are difficult in highly centralized economies, where local production networks have weakened. This gives the discussion a practical dimension. Readers are invited to think not only about ideals, but about the conditions under which new exchange systems can actually function and support resilience. Lastly, Right Livelihood and the Personal Ethics of Living in a Monetized World, Beyond Systemic Economics. Sacred Economics addresses the personal question of how to live well inside a money-dominated society. Eisenstein writes for readers seeking right livelihood, meaning work that aligns with moral purpose rather than mere survival or status. This theme gives the book a human scale. The problem is not only how economies are organized, but how individuals navigate work, dependence, gratitude, and identity within them. The book argues that when everything is monetized, even time and relationships can become objects of pressure and scarcity, which narrows human freedom. By contrast, a sacred economy encourages people to treat life energy as something to be offered, shared, and directed toward meaningful contribution. This perspective helps explain why the book resonates with readers interested in ethics, ecology, and personal transformation. It is not simply a policy manual. It is also a meditation on how economic structures shape character and on how people might recover a more generous and connected way of living. In conclusion, Sacred Economics Revised is best suited for readers who want to think beyond conventional economics and explore the moral and cultural meaning of money. It will appeal to people interested in sustainability, alternative currencies, commons-based systems, cooperative economics, and questions of right livelihood. Readers seeking a strictly technical economics text may find its style too expansive and its proposals more visionary than empirical, but that is also part of its value. The book stands out because it does not separate finance from ethics or policy from worldview. Instead, it argues that monetary systems embody assumptions about human nature, scarcity, and relationship, and that reform must therefore be both structural and cultural. Compared with many books on inequality or sustainability, it offers a more integrated framework that combines critique, spirituality, and institutional imagination. Even readers who disagree with specific proposals can gain a sharper understanding of how money shapes social life and why alternatives such as gift exchange, local currencies, and common stewardship continue to attract serious attention. If you would like to support Charles Eisenstein, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.